the parable that we just heard, we hear people who were called, but who made excuses. They didn't answer at the time of the call, and there came a point where the master determined that none of them would be allowed into the feast that they had been invited to. This past week, in the weekday lectionary, we've been reading from the Epistle of the Hebrews, and we read chapters 3 and 4, in which St. Paul comments on the psalm. I'll read the first part of it, which he actually doesn't specifically comment, but he comments on the second half. This is Psalm 94 and the Septuagint 95 in the King James. Come, let us rejoice in the Lord. Let us shout with jubilation unto God our Savior. Let us come before his countenance with thanksgiving, and with psalms let us shout in jubilation unto him. For the Lord is a great God and a great King over all the earth. For in his hand are the ends of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his. For the sea is his, and he made it, and the dry land his hands have fashioned. O come, let us worship and fall down before him, and let us weep before the Lord who made us. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We are called in this psalm to acknowledge God as our King, to worship him, to weep before him for our sins and receive his mercy, and to be the sheep of his pasture as we acknowledge him to be our shepherd. But the second half of the psalm is what St. Paul focuses on. And it's after these words, which are somewhat comforting to hear, there's a word of warning in that psalm. It says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. For your fathers tempted me, they proved me and saw my works. 40 years long I was grieved with that generation. And I said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my way. So I swear in my anger, they shall not enter into my rest. What St. Paul, or actually what the psalm is alluding to when it talks about the provocation in the wilderness, if you're familiar with the story of the Exodus, the Israelites, no sooner had they been delivered from bondage than they started to complain, and at every turn they expressed their lack of faith that God would deliver them, and God again and again miraculously delivered them. And finally they reached the border of the Promised Land, and they sent 12 spies into the land to search out the land, and of those 12 spies, 10 of them came back saying, oh, I don't know how we're going to be able to conquer this land. These people in the land are like giants, and we're like ants in their eyes. There's no way that we're going to be able to take these people. And only Joshua and Caleb came back giving a good report, saying, you know, have faith, trust God, we can do this. And so God became so angry that he said, well, okay, now you've lost your chance, you're not going in, and all of you are going to die in the wilderness with the exception of Joshua and Caleb. And then the people in their own strength decided, oh, man, I guess we messed up. So they decided to try to take the land apart from the blessing of God and by their own power. And they invaded and they were defeated and they went back into the wilderness having lost many people and bloodied and bruised. And so for 40 years, God let that generation live out in the wilderness, not receiving the promise that he had given them at the very beginning of the Exodus. And so St. Paul says of this passage, he says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering into his rest, let us fear, lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. The promise was to enter into this land of milk and honey, but the promised land is also an image of course, the ultimate rest that we will have in eternity in heaven with God forever, but it also is an image of the spirit-filled life, the life of theosis, the life that's possible for us to begin to partake of in this lifetime. And what St. Paul says is the promise was there, but the promise was not united to a people who had faith in that promise, and so therefore, it didn't profit them at all. that God is willing and able to do everything that he says in the scriptures that he will do for us. The question is whether that promise is greeted by us with faith or not. St. Paul goes on to say, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered into his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall on account of the same example of disobedience." St. Paul is telling us that we should be diligent to enter into that rest, and I don't believe that he's saying we should be diligent to die and go on to heaven. We should be diligent to enter into that rest right here in this life so that we can enter into that ultimate rest with God for eternity. And it's not one of these days that we should enter into that rest, but today, because as St. Paul quotes from the Psalm, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts." When we hear the promises of God, it's easy for us to respond with a hard heart because of our disobedience and because of our lack of holiness, our lack of prayer. Maybe we've made some feeble attempts at the spiritual life and we've not made much progress. But we have to have faith that God means what he says, and that if there is a problem, the problem is not on God's end, the problem is on our end. It's us that needs to change. We need to soften our hearts. The prophet Amos used the phrase, "Break up the fallow ground of your heart." Fallow ground, for those of us that are not familiar with agricultural living, fallow ground is a field that's been allowed to just sit there and it becomes hard. And you can't just go out there with seed and expect that you're going to have a great crop the following harvest. You have to go and break up that fallow ground with a plow. And we have to break up the fallow ground of our hearts by repentance. And that's why the psalm talks about, "Let us weep before our God." We need to repent. If we soften our hearts with the tears of repentance, then the seeds of the promise of God will be able to take root in our life, and the things that God has told us that are possible will become a reality in our life. And one of the key things that we need to be doing that St. Paul goes on to tell us about is we need to be reading and drinking deeply of the scriptures. St. Paul says, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even unto the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature hidden in his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give an account." The scriptures talk about the scriptures talk about the law of God, or you could say the scriptures, just generally speaking, as a mirror. And when we study the scriptures, we're looking into a mirror, and that mirror shows us who we are. You can imagine that if we didn't have any such thing as a mirror and we were all getting ready to come to church this morning, how we would look. If we didn't have anything to look to see how we appeared, we would probably all come here looking somewhat hideous, particularly if we were trying to put on makeup and you didn't have any way of guiding your hand to put it on in the right place. Well, spiritually, we need to be looking into the mirror. We need to be studying the scriptures, because the scriptures will show us who God is, and it will and in that light of who God is, show us how far short we are and what in our life needs to change. I'll close with the words that St. Paul closes the fourth chapter of Hebrews. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need." God is there with his grace. His promises are there in the scriptures. The scriptures tell us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if we lack faith, it's probably because we're not seriously drinking in on a regular basis the scriptures and getting that faith that God promises us that we will acquire by doing so. Amen.